Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
A few moments ago, I, along with some other people here in this church, were honored. And the love that I received from you guys is just overwhelming. It's hard to imagine that there could be such an overflow. I got to give some back. Hallelujah. I can't contain it. So even though it was just a few of us that got honored, the same honor goes to you guys. Pastor Henry talked about faithfulness, as he mentioned, Abe and Mikhail. And that's really what this is about. For me personally, I just knew that when I, as Pastor, went through our history, as he said, there was something that connected us. But all I knew is that all my life, I've been faithful. And I never thought I'd have the honor of being called pastor. That was never my intention. And wow, to be able to share a platform with this man. But all God told me is that I am supposed to be with him to walk with him. I don't ever see myself wanting to do or say anything that would elevate me higher than this man. My place is to support him. And that's what I just want to say to you guys. Be faithful where you are. Whatever it is that God has placed you there. And if there's a tomorrow for you, for something different, it doesn't have to be your up here as a pastor. You know, what God has called you to do is maybe even way more important than standing up here and preaching. We're called the body of Christ. And each one of us has been given a task. Each one of us has been given something that God has wanted for you. Don't ever feel that part of the body that you are is less important than what's happening up here. So be faithful. Stay with what you're doing. Amen. And that's more important than where you get to. That title, it really doesn't mean nothing. When Pastor Henry asked me to be an associate pastor, I said, I would do it, you know, because that's what I want to do. I mean, I'm going to do what I do because that's what God's called me to do. Amen. I don't need a title for that. But I have received honor, and I just, like I said, I can't contain it, but to say that I love you guys, and all the love that I received this morning, it just overwhelmed my heart. And keep doing what you're doing. Keep being faithful to what God has called you. Don't look at that guy next to you and say, I want to be like him. Be like him. Amen. Thank you.
Someday, I'll have to make an accounting. I'll have to stand up and make an accounting for what I've done in my life. And I've been finding out the more I look at the mentors in our lives, the more I look to the ones who are doing it. They're not just doing church. They're not just doing Sunday. This is their life. This is what they're doing daily. This is the little things. This is the things all week long that we don't see. You know, we want to hear at the end of our journey, well done, good and faithful servant. And by looking at the people that are going before us, that are here week after week, that are that are here, even when no one shows up, even when it's hard to get out of bed, even when we don't think we're making a difference, what if we make a smile at just the right time and we save somebody's life? What if we don't even know what happens, but we make that much of a difference that we're saving people? We are God's church. It's not a building. It's not Sunday. We are His community and His church every single day. Every single day. For each other. For praying for each other. For the little texts. The little texts during the week that could change an entire day for us. And they don't even know they're doing it. To be lifted up. To be smiled at. To be given a cup of water. To be given a thank you. To be given a thank you. There were 10 lepers that were healed, and only one turned back around to Jesus to say thank you. So let's not forget to say thank you. To thank you for all of our mentors and for the ones that are teaching us the drums and the singing and the guitar and day after day. Be the church all week long, not just a building. Amen.
Amen, 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 amen. So I have a word for you today, church, and it's called, the word is unity. I think Pastor's going to talk about this a little bit. How many know that there are thousands of different Christian denominations in the world? Thousands. And every one of them have their own truth. And their truth is the truth, and your truth is not their truth. So you're wrong. That's not what we're called for. We are called to unity. We're called to be one body, one kingdom. I have a personal testimony to that effect. This year, my wife and I celebrated our 40th anniversary. Praise God. Yeah, praise God. Only because of God. It was not always a bed of roses. Hardly. About 5 years in, 5 years and three kids. And we had about had enough, and we were ready to pack it all up and throw it in the trash can and say, that's it. We're done. But then we realized that we had tried just about everything except the Lord. And we were both Christians, right? We had been raised in Christian families, so we were both Christians. But guess what? Wow. We went and found ourselves a small little non-denominational church, and the assistant pastor came over to my kitchen table and sat there probably 5 or 6 weeks, taking us through the Bible, taking us through the gospel. I will love that man to the day I die. He baptized me. I came up out of the water. I turned around and baptized my wife, and we've been together ever since. Because it wasn't until we were both able to submit to Him that we're able to submit to each other. That's what we need. That's what the unity, that's going to give us the unity. When we submit to the Holy Spirit instead of to whatever our denomination says we should be doing. He's in charge. We're not. Praise God.
You. I'm not a wordy person, and the Lord knows that. But He keeps repeating this word to me. I don't know if it'll mean something to somebody, but it's reconstruction. Reconstruction. Praise God. That's it.
That's a good word. You know, so often we think about our walk with the Lord and we don't think we're important enough to share His word with others. It's so important. Each one of us has the Holy Spirit, and each one of us can speak the words that He tells us to speak. And it doesn't matter where you're at or what you've done in your life, it's or your age. None of that matters. All that matters is that you have a heart for the Lord, that you love everyone the way He would. When you think about when He walked, He never condemned. He'd always say, go and sin no more. And he knew what the sin was, but yet he was always very loving. We're here to express the love of our Lord, to give hope, to enlarge faith, to increase faith, to pray with someone, to make a difference, because we don't know what that difference is going to be, because we may not ever see it. Sometimes we're called just to plant a seed. Sometimes we're called to fertilize it, to add more water, but we've got to be ready to do whatever God wants us to do. And it's not about being eloquent. It's about sharing God's love. It's about sharing what he has given us and that it can be given to others. Too often we believe our testimony is so sad, but you know, you might be helping somebody find their life, and that is their hope in Jesus. So we've got to make the effort to share who we are, what we've been through, because a lot of times people will look at you and say, you got it all together. You know how to pray eloquently, but you know, you had to go through something to make it to that spot. And the only eloquence you need is the Holy Spirit and what he tells you to share. And sometimes whatever you share might be rejected, but it only be rejected for a moment, because sometimes people respond in anger and hurt. And you know, that's not our job to worry about that. Our job is to, if God says you are to speak this forth, then you speak it forth. If you are to pray for somebody, even if they're saying they're not believers, something in what you pray with the Holy Spirit can touch and make a difference in that person's life. Sometimes God shows us things that we don't know anything about, and that person is in awe and stunned that we would even speak forth certain things. And they go, how do you know? And you say, I don't. All I know is God gave this to me, and it's for you. We have to love one another. When we stand before the Lord, while this church here is our encouragement, it's our way of fellowship, it's our way of worshiping the Lord, we need to be worshiping at home. We need to have that communion with him. And communion doesn't mean, you know, the bread and the wine. What it means is, Lord, I want to talk to you today. I want to share my day with you. I want to start my day with you. And then we end the day. But as we go through the day, look for opportunities that God can use you. And he can use each and every person. He's no respecter of person. Think about this. He made a donkey talk. He made rocks cry out in praise. What better thing than that we can do that, that we can praise him and we can talk with him. And you know, even in the darkest of moments, God is there. And he can give you joy that is just, you can't even measure it, because of the fact that he's with you. And then in time, things will heal over. And he will give you a heart that can remember or you know, go through things that you won't cry anymore. Because there's so many things we cry about. But the thing is, if we give everything to him each and every day, he can help us navigate those roads. He can help us through those troubled paths. And no matter what we do, he will always there be beside us, go before us, be behind us, sometimes even carry us. So please know that God can help you be the most eloquent speaker ever. And if he doesn't, you're going to meet the person where they're at. Because you know what? It's not about eloquence. It's about sharing God's love. So whoever you are, wherever you are, use the tools that he has given you. And that's his word. And then just do it in love. It's not your responsibility to clean up anybody. It's just your responsibility to share what God did for you, how he redeemed you, restored you, and made you a new creature in Christ, so that they can have hope and they can have their faith increased. So know that whatever it is that God sets your hand to, he will bless it. Thank you.
I'm not a very eloquent speaker, and I get very nervous up here. But yes, we should share our gifts. And I get these poems in the night quite frequently. And I finished this one composition book already. And Lord willing, I will write that book of poetry next year. But here's one of them I wrote not too long ago about how sometimes in life, you feel like God is waiting for something, and it just seems like everything's in a standstill, and you just wonder why it has to take so long to get better. But this is what he gave me. God waits a little longer for our faith to grow much stronger. The longer he waits, the stronger faith grows. He knows just what we need and how to make us heed, and he waits a little longer so you and I grow stronger. He waits a little longer and guides us by the hand. He knows what we can take, and he never will forsake, so we must trust him through the storm and hold on. Praise the Lord, he makes us strong. He waits a little longer so our faith can make us stronger. Yes, he waits a little longer, so hold on. He will make you stronger. Yes, he waits a little longer. Cling to hope and you'll be stronger. He waits a little longer, so look up. He makes you stronger. He waits a little longer. Just hold on, and he will guide you through the storm.
So, there used to be a time where it was actually not since I've been going here, but there was a time where it was a burden for me to go to church sometimes, where I'm like, oh, I got to wake up early so I can make it to church, you know? I was still a Christian. I was just at a different place then. But the thing that I noticed is the more I got close to God, the more I wanted to do things with God, with God's people. And, if you start thinking about, like, if you're just concerned with, like, worldly values, you know, that's what you're going to value, is the world. And the more you concern yourself with kingdom values, the more you value the kingdom, right? So, it's funny how simple things are in the Bible. Yet we just read over it and we don't really think about it. In Matthew chapter 6, it talks about, how am I going to clothe myself, feed myself? How am I going to survive? Kind of a thing. And it's near the end. And then it says, but seek first the kingdom of God, and all these will be added to you as well. Right? So what does God say the answer is to sustaining our lives? Is it to find the right job? Is it to, do certain things? Or is it to seek the kingdom of God and everything else is going to be taken care of? So I would just encourage you to prioritize God and actually take a look at your life and understand what that means. Because what I do is I don't schedule my life. I don't schedule church around my life, but I schedule my life around church because this is what's most important to me. And I love serving God. I love preaching, but I also love being back there with Steve and clicking slides. That's right, Steve. I love you, man. I love being around these people here early in the morning. Just spending time with them, working with them. And it's all in service to God. Amen. How do I do? And there's nothing that blesses me more than doing that. And then, you know what I love about God is he takes it even further. Besides me just being taken care of, just having the basics of what I need. It says this right here in Psalm 37, verse 4. It says, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Like, not only is he just going to take care of me, but he's also going to give me the desires of my heart. And you know, just like I said before, you start valuing the things of God even more, then you're going to value God. And that's what you're going to be desiring. You know, the things that you think are important become less important. And the things that truly are important is what you're going to pursue. And you know what? Because they are godly things, God is going to give them to you. So I just encourage you, seek God first.
Hallelujah. I kind of want to share my heart with you on something because God keeps bringing it up even when they're played. But there's the part of this song that I really love. And I really like, Linda, that you talked about like communion being not just being the communion we always grew up knowing it as, right? But being, it's that relationship. But in here, and the words are already up there, that middle part that says, and here's what where the dead things come back to living. I feel my heart beating again. That portion of this song has been something that's always, from the time I heard this song, oh my gosh, that is so good. Like, that part's always just stood out to me. Because we get very used to doing church the way maybe we grew up doing church, maybe the way we always thought church was supposed to be, maybe just as routine. But what this song is talking about and what God wants us to understand is that the communion is so vital to everything, who we are, the church, the unity, everything. Because as we commune, do you know, okay, so going back, sorry, I'm going to go back. When Jesus was in the wilderness, he was going through, the devil was tempting him. And can I tell you that when you go through that part, you can really see that the devil knew his scripture. But it's not just the reading and the knowing of the scripture. It's the revelation that comes as you commune.
That's right.
This is why this is so important. The communion, the reading, the prayer, the spending time. Because anybody can read the Bible and take what they want from it. I have had people who want to argue whether this is right or that is right. And they'll have scripture that they've literally taken a portion from, but they're skewing what God's trying to speak to them about. But that's the thing, is it's just because they need the revelation.
That's right.
This is a key to so much in our life, because that's why when you read a portion of this and then you read it again, it can be completely different the next time. Because not because you read it wrong the first time, but because maybe there's something going on in your life that as you're communing with God, he's showing you something new. He's giving you exactly what you need in the moments that you're needing them. It's why it's so important. It's so important for the church to realize that we are not here just to play church. We're not here just to go through the routines. We're not here so that when you give that account that you say at the end, I did church. No, it was about the communion. It's about the spending time so that he can give you the things that you need in your life, so that the things that maybe you struggled with, the things that were maybe dead in your life, he can transform and bring back to life. It's why we hear testimonies about marriages that were once in such a hard place and now are in such a great place, because the key was the communion with God.
Yeah.
That was the key. It wasn't anything you could change on your own. I can tell you that I've seen it happen in my own marriage. When Oscar and I got married, we were young. And we had a lot to learn. A lot. And we're still learning. But the truth is, we would have never, ever survived the things we went through if it wasn't for the fact that we looked to God first. Anybody else, I know that anybody out in the world that knew nothing about God would have said, nope, that's it. There's too much damage. There's too many things wrong. It's gone too wrong for too long, and it's just done. But let me tell you, when God gets in the middle of things, nothing is done. He can turn something completely around. The moments that you think all is lost, look to God for answers. If you are struggling with something, if you are having a hard time with an addiction, if you're having a hard time just being down or sad, if you're having a hard time with your marriage, if you're having a hard time with your children, if you're having a hard time, I want to tell you this morning, commune with God. Because what you feel like you can't do, you don't need to do it. Because it's Him. If you commune with Him, He will give you exactly the answers that you need. Because when you try to do it on your own, you don't always know what needs to happen, but He knows. You don't always know what's going through somebody's head or what's happening, but He knows. You don't always know why the struggle is happening, but He knows. And He will turn it around. I want to read in Ezekiel 37:7. It says, "So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breathe, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy, and I say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live. And I shall place you in your own land, and then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord." Right there, it tells us it's not about what we do. It's about what He's doing within you. Don't think that because you're at your end, that it's the end, because it's not. Commune. I just want to tell you that this morning, commune, because you have the Holy Spirit in you, and He's ready. He's ready to just start unlocking things and letting you see things that you never saw before, letting things just come forth within you that you never realized. I just loved, we've heard it all morning as we've heard people speak into people's lives about how this church has changed. I went from being somebody who would never speak to anybody to somebody who gets up and speaks all the time. I went from somebody who didn't enjoy church to somebody who can't wait to come to church in the morning. I just went from this to that. Yeah, because you communed. You went and you went after God. You said, God, I'm not doing church anymore. I'm doing a relationship with you. I'm changing my whole walk. I'm changing my whole outlook. I'm changing it all because I don't want to be here just sitting in a chair. I want to be effective. I want to know who you are. I want to enjoy life. I want to have that peace that passes all understanding. I want to have the joy that exceeds anything I ever thought of. I want all the things you have for me. Whew, I'm excited. Can you get excited this morning? Because he died on a cross for you, that you might have the Holy Spirit, that he could commune with you every single day. And it's a gift. It is a gift that we should be jumping about, that we should be excited about, that we should be shouting for God to just commune with us on a regular basis. Whew. It's not just church. Come on. It's not just church. Whew. He's doing something in you. It's a change in you. It's a change in me. And it's because we're building a relationship. You are building a relationship. And if you feel like you haven't seen it in your life yet, keep going. Keep communing. Keep going after him. Because suddenly you go, oh gosh, I've been hearing you the whole time. I just wasn't used to it. Because it's just like a relationship with somebody every day. In the beginning, you might not know what to say to them. You might not know, well, I don't really know you. So, hi, how are you? But as you talk to them, now it's become, hey, so what happened with you at work? I remember you were telling me that you were having this problem. Like, did God do something in it? Oh yeah, God did all these things because you're building a relationship with that person. Now it's more than just the hi, hello. And it's the same thing with God. As you go after him and you press in, you go from this point of, God, I don't know that I'm hearing from you. I don't know if I'm getting the things from you that you're meaning for me to get, to, man, God, give me more. Because what you gave me helped so much and it touched the lives of these others. So give me more. Because I want to bless more people. I want to grow more. See, it's a shift. It's a change. That's why the Bible tells us that it's a transforming of the mind. Because as you go after him, you see new things that bring up new things, that clean out some things, that replaces them, that touches them, that ministers. That's why. That is why we see people go from alcoholics and addicts or just complete down in depression to completely the other way. Because it wasn't anything that we could do. It's what he did in them. It's why it's important. It's why he wants us to know these things, because these are the things that take us from just doing church every day to a church that is overflowing into the streets around us, to a church that is seeing the kingdom on earth, that is seeing all of the promises, all of the things that he's given in the word come to life in our lives, come to life in the lives around us, come to life everywhere we look. Because now we're not seeing things like the world. Our perspective has changed and we are walking in the promises that he's given. It's why this church functions the way it does. It's why even when we make a few people upset, we say, God, we got to do what you've said to do. Because it's the difference between somebody just sitting in a chair or completely changing their lives.
Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Lots of stuff going on this morning. Amen. I'm going to try to get you out early. Okay. So I only got 2 hours worth of sermon. So we'll get you. We'll do that for you. But praise God. You know, I really believe that the Lord is working, and I thank God for what he's doing in the lives of all of you. There are some of you that haven't stepped up to the mic yet, and I'm interested to see what God is saying to you. I really am. We say this a lot, but this was not our idea, John. Is that right? It wasn't our idea at all. As a matter of fact, when the Holy Spirit said, I want you to put a mic out there for everybody, we freaked out. Is that right? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? What happens if you get somebody up there? And you know what? God has always been faithful, hasn't he? He's always given a good word of most of the folks, out of all the folks that have spoken through this. So I thank God for what he's doing. Today I have a message, and the message that God was, he changed the message on me, because I know that God wants to prosper everybody. How many know that? He wants to prosper you no matter where you're at. The job you, whether you believe it or not, the job you got, God got it for you. Is that okay? Because God wanted, God desires that, he knows, God is good with GPS. Is that right? How many of you guys know that? You know what GPS is? Do you remember that, Adam? We used to talk about it. Remember when we were in GPS is God's positioning system. Is that right? GPS, not global positioning, whatever. But it's God's positioning system. That's the way he places you in a place. And it's important that we as brothers and sisters, we as children of God, to understand that he knows where you're at and he's expecting something from you. How many say amen to that? What's God? What might God be expecting you from you? Oh, he's expecting from you the idea that you might glorify him in the place that you're at. Is that okay? You know that. One of the things that God has really been talking to me about was that he wants to prosper. He wants to prosper you, but there are guidelines to being prospered by the Lord. How many know that? It's like it's not the law, but there. How many? Can I tell you that when you're obedient to God, you will prosper? How many? How many say amen to that? You might not see it right away, but I would guarantee you it's going to be happening to you. Just like I was talking to Pastor Abe and Micaiah this morning. God's going to prosper that ministry. You watch. Because there's a faithfulness and obedience that's in that ministry that is going to go, it's going to explode. You watch. Amen? Because God's not a man, he's not a respecter of persons. He's not just interested in that church over there just because they got a great youth ministry. He is interested on the hearts of his people, serving him wherever they're at. But, how many say, I like that word, but. But that's not the message that God wanted me to, that's the message that I was thinking of this week. I said, God, we're going to talk about how you want to prosper. Show me how you want to prosper your people. Show me the ways you prosper. I will tell you, can I tell you that tithing is the way to get prospered? Yeah, tithing, yeah. Not even a one amen out of that. Come on, man. I said it twice and I didn't get... Yes, tithing. Can I tell you that tithing, God honors tithing? Can I tell you that? Oh, two. We got two. Praise God. Tithing, God honors tithing. He says, hey, man, bring it into the storehouse. Some folks, you know, says, you know, I never get fed at that church. Let me ask you a question, because I did ask a guy this time about this. He told me, you know what? I come to this church and I never get fed. Let me ask you a question. Do you tithe? He goes, no. I said, well, there's your answer. Because in Malachi, it says, bring all the tithe in the warehouse. Bring the tithe into the storehouse. He says that there might be meat in my house. Have you heard, have you guys ever read that? He wants to feed you. But there's an obedience thing that God wants to do. So anyway, I think I better get off of the prospering thing, because God went in another direction last night. He wants me to remind you that you're in the kingdom of God. How many say amen to that? He wants me to remind you that this kingdom is a real kingdom. It's a real kingdom. It's real and it's on the earth now. How many say amen? The title of the sermon is It's Here Now. It's not something that's coming. It's here on the earth right now, and every one of you are carriers of this kingdom. How do you say amen to that? Yes. Amen. So praise God. I'm going to take you to the book of Daniel, and I'm just going to kind of go over some things that the Lord was speaking to me last night, because there's some things that I don't want you to leave without hearing some of these things. Is that okay? Daniel was a young man that was taken with a captivity by Babylon, and the king of Babylon had asked to pick the choicest guys out of the young men out of that they had taken from Israel, and so there was quite a group, but part of that group was Daniel. You guys remember the name Azariah? You guys remember the names? Hananiah and Meshach. You guys remember those guys? We later on find out the king of Babylon changes their names, and they're Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel, he changed his name to, what was it, Belshazzar? What was it? Belshazzar, yeah. And so so they all got name changes. How many say amen? No, we don't call you by what your God called you. We're only going to call you by what we called, because now we're your God. That's what Babylon was basically saying to them. But they picked these guys, and Daniel was one of them. And, you know, what I like about Daniel, he was not moaning and groaning. How many say amen to that? Yeah, he didn't moan and groan. He said, okay, God, whatever you want, I'll do it. Here I am. You got me here. There's a reason, I'm sure. So if you will, turn your Bibles to Daniel chapter, I'm not sure. Daniel chapter 2. I'm going to read this. Daniel chapter 2. Hey, if I'm going too fast, let me know, okay? Just raise your hand. Okay? Daniel chapter 2. In the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep broke from him. And the king commanded to call the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans, to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king, and the king said to them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spoke the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, saying, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show you the interpretation. Yeah. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing has gone from me. If you will not make known to me the dream with the interpretation thereof, you shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. How would you like that? I had a dream. Really? Yeah. Tell me your dream. And I don't remember it. But I want you to interpret it. What? Yeah. Yeah. And if you don't, I'm going to kill you. How many like that? How would you like to live in that time? Praise God, man. Isn't that right? This king's not messing around. He wants to know what his dream meant. Is that right? But he can't remember the dream. Isn't that cool? Who is that? That is what we call God. God is doing something. How many say amen? Amen. So he says, if you show the dream and the interpretation thereof, you shall receive gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. And they answered again and said, hey, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. They must not have heard the first time. The king answered again and said, the king answered and said, I know of a certainty that you would gain the time because you see the thing is gone from me. But if you will not make known to me the dream, there is but one decree for you, for you have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me till the time be changed. Therefore, tell me the dream and I will know that you can show me the interpretation of it. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things at any magician, astrologer, or Chaldean. How many know that with God, all things are possible? Do you guys know? It is a rare thing that the king requires. There is none other that can show it before the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. For this cause, the king was angry and furious and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. The decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Daniel was part of the wise men at that time. They had set him up, him and his friends. And Daniel answered the counsel then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel, and Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, that he would show the thing and the interpretation. He would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, his companions. How many of you know it's important that we pray together? Is that right? And here Daniel, he's a smart guy, and he goes to the king and he asks for a little bit of time. Just give me a little time, king. Hold on. King, I will give you the answer. Just give me a chance to answer you. Let me find out. And I believe the king liked Daniel. So he goes, okay, I'm going to give you a little time. So he went and told his friends, come on, bros. Come on, boys, we got to pray. And they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was a secret revealed to Daniel in a night vision. And Daniel blessed the Lord God of heaven. And Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. He changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. How many of you believe that? Do you believe that he changes times and seasons? Do you believe that he sets up kings and takes down other ones? That's who God is. Hallelujah. I love these words. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He reveals the deep and secret things. He knows what's in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might and has made known to me now what we desired of thee, for thou hast made known unto us the king's matter. Therefore, Daniel went into Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. And he went and said to them, thus to him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. How many like this story? It's a beautiful story about how God honors his people. Amen. Daniel's pretty bold. Is that right? Let me go in. I will tell him. I'll show him what he's doing. And the king and Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste and said thus to him, I have found a man. How many like that? Arioch, he's going to make a few points for himself. Oh, king, guess what? I found a guy. I have a guy. Amen. I got a guy that can do this, man. How many got guys that can do it? Anyway, I got a guy. He says, I found a guy. I found a man that of the captives of Judah that will make known to the king the interpretation. And the king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, art thou able to make known to me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king has demanded, the secret which the king has demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show to the king? Daniel's throwing it a little jab to those guys, isn't he? Hey, can't those guys show you, king? Why are you paying them? What are you paying them? No. But there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets and makes known to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, what shall be in the latter days. Everybody say latter days. Latter days. How many believe that we might be in the latter days? Do you believe that? I believe it. I believe we're in that place. Okay, and he said, this is what God's going to do. He's going to show you what will be in the latter days. Your dream, the visions of your head upon your bed are these. And here Daniel begins to expound his dream, just to tell the dream. As for thee, O king, your thoughts came into your mind upon your bed. What should come to pass hereafter? He that reveals secrets makes known to you what shall come to pass. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of your heart. You, O king, saw and beheld a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before you, and the form thereof was terrible. Awesome. We'll say awesome. The image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part iron, part clay. You saw till a stone which was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were made of iron and clay and broke them to pieces. I'm going to say that again. I'm going to say the first part. You saw till a stone which was cut out without hands. You guys see that? Who is that? His name is Jesus. You saw a stone cut out without hands, and it smote this thing in the feet that was iron and clay. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, the gold broken to pieces together and became like chaff of the summer threshing floors. The wind carried them away that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain. I'm sorry. Man, I'm starting to feel this. And filled the whole earth. How many say amen? Amen. Amen. If it, this mountain filled the whole earth. This is the dream, and we will tell you the interpretation before the king. You, O king, are a king of kings. But he's not the king of kings. How many say amen? Notice it's the short, little, small k, king of kings. But Jesus is the king of kings, the capital K of kings. How many say amen to that? How many know that you're a king and a priest in the kingdom of God? Do you know that? God has called you to be a king. He's called you to be a priest. He's called you into this kingdom that he has. It's a kingdom. Amen? We have one king. We have a great king. How many say amen to that? Oh, I'll probably say that again 10 times. Hallelujah. We've got a great king. Amen? This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron. Oh, I went to the wrong spot. I'm sorry, Eve. let's go. Let's go to verse 37, Abe. I'm sorry. Thou, O king, are king of kings, for the Lord God of heaven has given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. Wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field, and the fowls of the heaven, he has given into your hand. Amen? Come on, man. And he has made you a ruler over them all. You are the head of gold. I bet King Nebuchadnezzar said, yeah, that's me. That's my dream, bro. I'm the head. Amen. Hallelujah. And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass shall bear rule over all the earth. The fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaks in pieces and subdues all things, and as iron that breaks all these, it shall break in pieces and bruise. And whereas, verse 41, you saw the feet and the toes, potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, and there shall be in it the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with the miry clay. And the toes of the feet were part iron, part clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong, partly broken. Whereas you saw iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. They shall not cleave to one another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. Verse 44 says this. Got to get this verse. And in the days of these kings, God of heaven shall set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and a kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it will. Listen, everybody say it will. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it will stand forever. What kingdom is he talking about? You guys know what it is. You guys know what kingdom that is. Amen. You're part of that kingdom. You're in that kingdom. For as much as you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, this is Jesus, and that it broke in pieces, the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, the gold, the great God has made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof is sure. I want you to pay attention to what this is. Daniel, he's prophesying. Do you guys know that? You realize what he's telling them is what God has had shown him, and yet he's prophesying, and he's saying these kingdoms are going to happen, and there's a kingdom that's going to take over all of them. Amen. And then he says this: these things are sure; they are going to happen. O king, is what he says. Amen. They are certain, and the interpretation is sure. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face. Why do you think he fell on his face? This young man told him his dream and interpreted the dream. Can I tell you something? There's something about God that will cause man to bow his knee. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. How many say amen to that? Hear the King, the golden head, amen, falls to his knees, falls to his face. And he says, of a truth, it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets. Seeing that you could reveal this secret, then the king made Daniel a great man. How many say amen? Can I tell you, doing what God tells you to do will cause you to prosper? The king made Daniel a great man and gave him many gifts and made him a ruler over the whole province of Babylon and over all the wise men of Babylon. And Daniel requested the king that he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate with the king. Isn't that cool? Praise God. Can I tell you, I'm going to take you to Daniel chapter 7. I'm not going to read the whole chapter like I did that because we're running out of time. But I'm going to get you out of here, and I want you to hear what God is saying here. Daniel chapter 7 goes through all these beasts. It's a tie to what Daniel told the king of Babylon. It's a tie to, there have been many, many kingdoms in the earth. The king of Babylon was one of them. Greece was another one. What was it? Medo-Persia was another one. And Rome, the Roman Empire, were probably what God was describing in this guy. Do you know that Nebuchadnezzar? It's just like a man. It's just, the very next chapter after this, if you read it, you're going to see that Nebuchadnezzar set up this big old king, big old statue. How many say amen to that? Remember that? He sets up the statue, and then he commands everybody to bow to it. When they hear the music, bow down to it. You know what? He was placing a visual sight in the earth of what Daniel said to him. You are this king. You are this. You are the head. And so you know, it's just like men. We mess up what God's trying to do. Make something about us rather than about God. How many say amen? But anyway, here in Daniel chapter 7, Daniel is prophesying in chapter 7. He talks about the beasts and about the winged animals and the lion, face of a lion, face of a bear, and all these other. But then, how many of you know that I'm not interested in the kingdoms of years gone by? How many say amen to that? I am interested in the kingdom we live in. I am interested in the United States and what's going on in the world. I'm interested. But my heart interest, what gets me the most, is what the kingdom of God is doing right now. The kingdom of God. How many of you know you're part of the kingdom? So watch this. Here he says, Daniel chapter 7, verse 13. Daniel sees something. He says, I saw in the night visions, behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given to him a dominion and a glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom shall not be destroyed. How many say amen to that? This is what Daniel's looking at. He's looking at this kingdom. And folks, can I just tell you, this kingdom is not the dead gone by and are up in heaven. This kingdom is God is setting up kingdom in the earth. How many say amen? Jesus told us, this is how you pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Can I tell you, this kingdom does not take over other nations by tanks, mortar, what is that mortar? I mean, I don't even know what I'm talking about. Tanks, machine guns, and that kind of, those kind of, this is a kingdom of the heart. How many say amen to that? And it's going to take over. Can I tell you that to you? Can I say, don't get distracted. God is moving in his kingdom. He's going after hearts, and he's going to bring his kingdom into the earth. It is certain. Daniel said, it's true. It's going to happen. It will happen. How many say amen to that? Amen. Oh, you got to get it. Oh, hallelujah. Then he says over here, he says, verse 18, I'm going to throw that up there. I'm sorry, I probably didn't give you these, man. Did I? Verse 18 of Daniel chapter 7. says this, but the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever. How many say amen? You are going to take the kingdom and possess it forever and ever. Okay. Verse 21 says this, I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. How many know that there's an enemy out there that's working against us? Do you know that? You know what? Antichrist is in the world right now. Do you know that? Anything that is contrary to God, anything that speaks against God, hallelujah, needs to be spoken to give them an opportunity to see the kingdom of God. They reject it. It's Antichrist. Can I tell you? It's Antichrist. It's Antichrist. You know, the Antichrist is in the world today. Hallelujah. A lot of people are looking all over. They say, man, hey, it's a 666, 666. Who cares about 666? I mean, it could be your neighbor right now in the street. Amen? Cursing you every time you go by. The Antichrist. Oh, man. I'm just going to leave that alone. He says, I beheld the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. Sometimes, folks, does it seem like the enemy is winning? Does it ever seem that way? Well, know this. You can't go by what you see. You have to go by faith. And here it says, verse 22, until the Ancient of Days came, judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. The kingdom of God is yours. Do you know that? It's yours to possess. It's yours. This kingdom is going to be shown in the earth. God is setting up his kingdom even right now. Psalm 47, verse 2. Can you put that up? I love this. Psalm 47, verse 2. The Lord Most High is what? That sounds like a word, weird word. He's awesome. He is a great king over all the earth. How many say amen to that? Can I tell you, he is a great king. If you have Jesus as your Savior, he's a great king. Don't ever forget that he's a great king. Look at Psalm 95, verse 3 says this, for the Lord is a great God and a great king above all gods. Do you know that Psalm 103 says that the kingdom of God rules over all? Do you know that? Do you know that this kingdom that God has, and he's setting it up in the earth, and you're part of it, rules over everything. Do you know that? Do you know you can talk to a tornado, tell it to turn around? Do you know that? Do you know that you can talk to sickness and disease and tell it to stop? Do you know that? I just had a cousin that went through, he went in at 8:30 in the morning. This was the day before yesterday. They didn't finish operating till 2:30 that morning. 8:30 all the way through 2:30. I mean, I'm going to tell you what, that's a long surgery. And what they were telling him, they thought he was going to have to go through, they found in there when they were working on him, we didn't have to cut this. We didn't have to do this. We didn't have to do this. We think we got it all. Praise God. I believe God got it all. Amen? This kingdom that we live in is in the earth today, and it's this way. Jesus told his followers, hey, when they say it's over there, don't go over there. When they say it's over there, don't go over there. They say it's on the East Coast, don't go over there. They say it's on the West Coast. They say it's in Europe, don't go. Because he said something very important, because the kingdom is within you. That's where the kingdom is. I talked about being home last week. Do you guys remember being home? Where is home? Your home is in the presence of God. That's your home. That's where you get filled with the peace of God. How many like being in your house? Just resting in your house. I go, oh, I like my house. I saw you raise your hand, Steve. I like your house. I could take your house. But I'm not going, that's a nice house. But I'll tell you what. Your home is in the presence of God. Do you know that? So check this out. Here it is. Malachi 1:4 says, 1:14, I think it says, says this, whereas Edom saith, we are impoverished, but we remain. Is that 1:4? 1:14, yeah, I think it's. Did I write 1:4? I'm sorry. Cursed be the deceiver. Everybody say that. Cursed be the deceiver. Say it again one more time. Cursed be the. All right, quit lying. Which hath in his flock a male and vows and sacrifices to the Lord a corrupt thing. I got $10, but I guess I'll just give them a dollar. How do you think of that? Yeah. And they said, hey, man, I gave all I got. Yeah, you got your $10 in there. Come on. And then God says this, for I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. Do you know that we serve in a great king? Do you know that? And he watches over his kingdom. He watches over the things he tells you. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, says this, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek first the kingdom of God. Why did he say that? Just so that all those things, your food, your clothing, could be added to you? Is that why he said it? Just so you could be added? No, Matthew 13, 11 says this. He answered and said to them, because it's given to you, know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. Seek the kingdom of God, because there are mysteries that he has placed in every one of us. Can I say that to you? Mysteries about who you are, about what he has for you. There's mysteries within you that he is trying to get to you. He's trying to get you to. So he tells you to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Mark chapter 4, verses 30 through 22. I want you to see this. Jesus said, this is Jesus. He says, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it's sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs and shoots out great branches so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. Take it back to the first one. He says, what shall we say about the kingdom of God? And what can we compare it to? I just want to go over this a little bit, just because you need to listen. God, Jesus is talking about the kingdom. He knows what he's talking about. How many would you say that Jesus knows what he's talking about? And he goes, well, what shall we compare it to? And he says, it's like a seed, right? A mustard seed that's sown where? In the earth. I want you to look at something here. What is the important thing about a seed? You got to plant it. What's the important thing about a seed? It has life. It has to die first, right? And then it gets planted, buried, and then it comes up again, right? Can I tell you what the most important thing about a seed is? It never forgets who it is. Can I say that to you? Listen to me. It never forgets who it is. Oh, you might forget. You might be planning. I think these are tomato seeds. And you toss them in. Man, they come up and you got corn. Oh, I guess not. The seed never forgets. Amen. Oh, can I tell you that you are the seed of Abraham? You are of the seed of David. And you, by the Spirit, Jesus is the seed of David. And he's dwelling in you. You should never forget about who you are. You are a kingdom person. You are in the earth, planted in the earth. Can I say that to you? Because good things are going to come out of you. God is trying to get those good things that he's got in you. Oh, we're all different seeds. Can I tell you that? That's why you can't tell anybody, oh, if you just be like me, oh, you'll be fine. No, you got to be what God has called you to be. You got to be what God has put in your spirit so that you can do what God has for you to do. And no man can teach you that. It's the Holy Ghost that is doing that in the world today. Amen? That's what the seed is. You're a seed planted in the earth. Notice that it's planted in the earth. Jesus said it's planted in the earth. It's in the earth. This kingdom is on the earth. It is for the earth. It is the plan of God that he had when he went and created the whole thing. He said, I'm going to put man on the earth. As a matter of fact, I'm going to make him out of earth. Am I going to say, amen? How many of you know that God made you dirt cheap? Come on, man. He really did. He made you out. We are made of the earth. How many say amen to that? But Gussie, doesn't it make that balance correct? Where man really can never lift himself up. Nobody can. Only God can raise you up. And all the kingdom and all the glory and all the honor goes to him. How do you say amen to that? Hallelujah. I'm going to give you one. I'm going to skip over some other stuff, but I'm going to give you this last one. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 22 through 29, because it's getting late. The roast is burning, huh? Oh, ladies, my roast, my roast. praise God. Hey, but let me tell you, when the Holy Spirit is doing something and speaking, I will not ever try to intervene. You know, somebody said, well, why don't you just sit up there and say, hey, man, okay, we got to take over now. No, I'm not going to do that. Amen. We're going to listen. Because, you know, you never know what God will be saying to somebody in the congregation. Here's the scriptures I want you to look at. Starting Hebrews 12, starting verse 22, it says, you are come unto Mount Zion, the city of the living God. How many say amen to that? When you pray, do you know that you are kind of, I would say, how do you say that? Anybody been in Four Corners? How many have been in Four Corners? What's the thing about Four Corners? You want to be four places at one time, is that right? Yeah, you can be two places in case you don't want to. Because I'll be in Nevada, I'll be in Arizona, just going around. When you're praying, you're in two places at once. Do you know that? God has created a place so that you enter into the kingdom. You enter into his throne room boldly. How do you say amen? Where is his throne? What does the Bible say? The earth is his footstool, right? But where is his throne? In heaven. So you're actually in two places. You're on earth, but you're entering into the throne room of God. You're in two places at once. Can I say that to you? Praise God. Anyway, you are not come, but you are come to Mount Zion, to a city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly of and church of the living God, of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling. Now, let me say amen. That speaks better things than that of Abel. Can I tell you what God has for us speaks better things? Do you know that? Do you know that when you go into the presence of God, God has words for you? He's got sentences for you. He's got something for you and for you alone. Can I tell you, we need to be very, the word is the same that we've said over and over again. You need to be independently dependent upon God, where you go in to hear what God has to say to you. Can I tell you, I've tried to do this. God, can you tell me what I need to say to that person over there, God? Never happens. I got mad at a guy one time. I said, God, give me a word so I can cut him down, because he embarrassed me. I say, anybody ever been embarrassed? No, none of you? Good, man. Praise God. You guys are such saints. Praise God. But this guy embarrassed me in front of a bunch of my friends that I work with, and everybody was laughing when we were walking away, and I said, God, give me a word so I can cut him down, cut him in half. I was upset, and I was angry. And the Lord gave me a word. Hey, what do you think? Praise God. You know, sometimes God will speak to you right then. Boom. How many say amen to that? How many like God to speak to you right away? Be careful with this. Because he spoke to me right away. And what he said was this: the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. And I said, that wasn't what I wanted to give him. I wanted lightning. Something, hey, show him who we are, God. Come on. See that you refuse not him that speaks. Do you hear that? God speaks, but sometimes we refuse him. If they escape not which refused him that spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I'm going to shake the earth. I will not shake the earth only, but also heaven. Can I say this to you? God is shaking the earth. Can I say that? Can I tell you what we're seeing today? It's shaking. God is shaking the earth. He's shaking you. He's saying to you, where's your foundation? What are you depending on, my child, is what he'd be saying to you. I remember I had a dream, and in that dream I was in Bisbee at a house where my wife and I had on top of a mountain called Manuelito Trail, 27 Manuelito Trail. And from there, I could see all the way to Tucson, and I could hear these explosions, and I could see the buildings in Tucson moving like that. I go, what's that? What happening? And I look, and I'd see Tucson, and I'd see these buildings moving. Didn't know what God was showing me. God was showing me later. Later, I found that God was saying, I am going to shake the earth like it's never been. And can I say this to you? Folks, we are in the shaking. God is shaking right now. He's shaking the earth. He's shaking foundations. Make sure your foundation is based in him. Your foundation is sure. Remember that rock that was cut out of the mountain? That's the foundation that God has you on. Make sure you're there. You can. It's nice to have lots of money. It's nice to have all these things. But God says, I will shake every foundation. Get to know that. And rejoice. Amen. Come on, God, shake my foundation. Shake whatever, like it says right here, I will shake not only, but also heaven. He says, go on in the next verse. It signifies the removing of the things that are shaking as of things that are made, and those things which cannot be shaken will remain. Do you understand that? You understand that God is trying to build your foundation, strengthen it, so that everything that he's given you will remain. You've got to be a steward about what God has given you. What God has placed in your heart, be a steward of it. And say, yeah, God, this is good. This is good. Be a steward of it. And you watch. Verse 28 says that, wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. This is the word that I feel the Lord has given us. That God is saying, look, yes, there's a shaking going on the earth. And just the way I felt when he was speaking to me, when I was looking at these things, I felt that the shaking, a greater shaking is on its way. It's coming. And it's our foundation that removes every fear, every doubt, everything that is contrary to him, because you're founded on the rock. Do not trust in anything other than the Lord. Amen. You don't trust in anything other than him. He is, can I say this one more time to you? And I might say it again to you. He's a great king. He is a great king. His kingdom rules over all. Can you stand? I'm going to pray. Praise God. I know it's kind of a fast slam through, man, but it's already almost 12:30. So I'm going to pray over you, and I'm going to ask God that you would consider the kingdom of God, that you're a part of it, and he has things for you to do, and he wants to bring those things to you, but it's a one-on-one relationship that you have with him. I was saying to some of the folks this morning, God desires unity in the body. And the only way you're going to see unity in this world today, the only way we're going to see unity in the kingdom of God is when we do only what God tells us to do, when we obey him and no other. Okay, is that okay? I'm going to say that to you because I believe that's what God is saying to us. We need to obey what he's saying to us. We need to understand that he will lead and guide and direct you. You don't have to step out without an intent. You say, well, I'm just going to step out. No, he doesn't want you to do that. He wants you to be led by the Spirit of God. So, Father, I just thank you for your people. Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for all the wonderful words that were spoken this morning, Father God. We thank you, Lord, that you are doing a great and mighty work. Father, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, allow the transfer. Allow the transfer. Allow that transfer of the things of the world to be left behind and the things of God to become flooding in to rebuild and strengthen and renew and renovate and restore. In the name of Jesus, I pray. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Thank you for coming to church this morning. We love you.
Thank you for joining us today.
Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.